Greetings, dearly beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. I think maybe after all of what has happened here this morning, we could just close and go home and treasure what we have, and maybe you'll feel like what I have to say is somewhat of a repetition of what has already been said. I invite you to Matthew chapter 5 for a message. This message started 3 weeks ago in this church house during Sunday school class. Brother Ryan was talking about what happened with Joseph and his brothers. Before I read about reconciliation, I want to reconcile this board. Leany, isn't it? Doesn't it need to get straightened out?
It's bothering me ever since I saw that. Because the verse we're going to read about, can't move that one, so I'll move this one. It's talked about being reconciled to our brother. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. Is that better or is that worse? Did it go too high? Is it okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 24c. I'd like to read for a context back up to verse 21. And my title is called Anger and Reconciliation. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him. I'm going to stop reading there, but something clicked in my mind as Brother Ryan explained that forgiveness is something we do by ourselves, but reconciliation is something that happens between people. And all of a sudden, some things began to fall together. I'll try one of these markers. I'm always a little skeptical when you get these old markers out. But I often thought of the fact that there's a difference. Okay, we're going to start here. I want to start on this board because I need the room. I'm going to start here with hurts. And then I'm going to go on this board to forgiveness. And then I'm going to the word trust. I don't have an outline this morning. All I have is a drawing. And we're just going to use this. It's maybe not much of a sermon, maybe more of a class. Because all of a sudden, when Ryan was talking that morning about the word reconciliation, it suddenly fell into place about the journey of relationships. Because we all know that life has hurts. And we're going to talk about, we're going to keep adding to this as we go along, and hurts move and they need to go to forgiveness. We heard a testimony about that this morning. But forgiveness is one-sided. Forgiveness is something that has to happen all alone between you and God. But the relationship is not really healed until you can move to reconciliation, because reconciliation is two-sided. Now the word is only, it's the only place in the Bible where this Greek word is used, and it's in this passage. First be reconciled. Is it God's will that all brothers and sisters in the church are reconciled to each other. The word means to change thoroughly. And so instead of being at odds with each other, they're completely back together. I looked the word up in the English dictionary, and it means this: to find a way of making two different ideas, facts, etc., exist or be true at the same time. That's why we call it reconciliation when the bank statement comes to your house and your, at least us old-fashioned folks, keep a checkbook or a ledger or something, and you have to make the bank's facts agree with your facts. There is reconciliation. To find a way of making two different ideas, facts, etc., exist or be true at the same time. Now, another second definition was to cause people or groups to become friendly again after an argument or disagreement. To make them become friendly again. And is it true that the Bible expects us to be reconciled to all of our brothers and sisters in intense relationships in our homes, but also in our congregations? Now, the further people are away, the less they can hurt you and the less it bothers you. But when they are close, hurts are very real. So we're going to talk this morning about hurts, forgiveness, reconciliation, and what about trust? Trust is even something beyond reconciliation. It's when you choose to again invest. I'm just going to fill up this board with ideas that have come to me, because in the last 3 weeks, I have met a lot of people with hurts, a lot of relationships that have been fragmented and destroyed. And again, I pull this paper out because I started that morning in my quarterly, and I soon went to a notebook, and I soon began to write things down, and this just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So what I have this morning is we'll go as far as we can. But first of all, let's go to the Bible. Let's talk about some Bible verses that we could put down. Mark chapter 9. Jesus told his disciples the last verse of this chapter: salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. I believe that salt speaks of that genuine element of religion. You know, religion can soon go into form and just be something on the outside that you try to keep looking good. If it's not in your heart, you've lost the real essence of your relationship with God, and you've lost your salt. You keep trying to put it on the outside, but if it's not there on the inside, you've lost it. And then he says, have peace one with another. This morning, I've been thinking about that. Have peace one with another. And then in Romans chapter 12, there's two different passages here that we'd like to highlight. Is it the Bible norm for us to have reconciliation? I wasn't even thinking about Susquehanna Valley, and then, maybe sometime in the last week, Brother Chris reminded me that he had a schedule made up for the year, and it was my turn to come again. Would it work? And I said, yeah, I would like to come back and preach the sermon that Susquehanna Valley preached to me and see if I can think it through. And I'm open for any corrections or improvements that you have, because I'd like to add this to one of the handouts that I give. And in Romans chapter 12, talking about the inner and then finally has to happen in walking after the Spirit. Then he goes to talk about how that affects church life. And in verse 10, he says this: be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I've heard it said already that I love you, but I don't like you.
And what we mean by that is that I know I have to love you and believe good things, but really, your personality and your ways get under my skin, and I'd rather if you were not in my life. Does that jive with Romans 12:10? Be kindly affectioned. Now, that word kindly affectioned, I looked it up, and it's philo storge. Phileo means it's two kinds of love squashed into one word. Because phileo means brotherly love, and storge means family love. And so have brotherly, family love toward each other in the church. And then he says, the definition in Strong's, cherishing one's own kindred, to cherish your family. It's God's will for us in the Christian home. It's God's will for us in the Christian church to cherish each other. To have fraternal, he says, feeling or having fraternal feelings toward fellow Christians. You're my brother. Is that what happens in my life? You're my brother. You're my sister. We stick together. We stick up for each other. We understand where we're coming from. And then down further in the chapter, he gets into difficult relationships, and he says in verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. And then in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. God doesn't want us to be picking quarrels and fights with each other. He wants us to be finding the high ground. That's what the Bible says. And then over in 2 Corinthians 13, and all of these passages are directing us to get started down this road, because this is a journey. From hurts to trust is a journey. It doesn't happen. And relationships, again and again and again, need to go through these stages. And unless we choose to make it happen, we will get stuck, and it will not happen. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. I don't know even how to start on that. Be of good comfort. That means draw each other to yourself is literally what the word parakaleo means, of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And these are things that he asks us to do as Christians. So we go right back to our text, which says, first be reconciled. This is the call of the Christian, of our relationships and our homes and families and lives as we relate to each other. But why, oh why, is it such a journey? And so I'd like to start, and that's why I chose two boards this morning. I'd like to just start over on this end of the board and talk about how do we get hurt. And I'd like to start with the thought that since we are, by creation, created in the image of God, we have feelings. God has feelings. We have the ability to feel pain and pleasure. Does God feel pain? It repented him. It grieves him in his heart. God feels the pain of broken relationship. Does God feel pleasure? God delights in the path of the righteous. He loves to see it. Do we feel pain? You better believe it. We're made in the image of God. I got to thinking about animals and if they feel pain. And then I saw this little article about a monkey, baby monkey, crying when his mother got killed, and how they have pain. But it's very, very limited. We can't enter into their pain very much. They feel physical pain, the more developed the animal is, but they don't carry months of it. And I talked about my goat already, that I spanked her for getting out, and she held a grudge for me against me for a week and a half or whatever it was. I think that maybe they're more highly developed. But we have the ability to feel pain, and that pain doesn't just go away. Now, not only do we have the ability to feel pain and pleasure, God created us with a sense of justice. God knows when something is right, and God knows when it's wrong. But by creation, we have those two things. And when things happen and we know that it was wrong and it hurts, then it creates an intense hurt inside us. That's life. That's where we are. Now, not only have we been created in the image of God, but we also have by our fallen nature. More complications, okay? And what do those things do for hurts? By our fallen nature, we have unrealistic expectations. Not all pain comes because of that, but sometimes we just expect a whole lot more fuss to be made about us than what happens, and it doesn't happen. We thought that, who was it that thought that he would be honored? And then Elijah didn't even come out and talk to him. And he got hurt over it, didn't he? Was Naaman's hurt a legitimate hurt? Have you ever been hurt because you thought something would happen and it didn't happen? Of course you have. I don't think I'm the only one. You go expecting that they'll compliment you, or you make a meal and you think you'll be complimented, or you do this, give a sermon, or you do something and nobody says anything. And well, I guess I may as well stay at home. And you can get a real attitude over that because it hurts. But people can't be fussing over us all the time, can they? We have unrealistic expectations. But that's not all. We get involved in complex personalities. Some of this happened because of things that happened in the last few weeks. And I don't want to be talking about stories. I did have 3 baptisms on Sunday morning in a row, though. I really enjoyed that. From the one here to Siguatepeque. At least this one's in our own language. And then Del Naranjo last week. Back in the mountains. You know, it's just everywhere you go, you meet this problem. Complex personalities. You operate one way, that's normal for you. I operate another way, that's normal for me. And yet we're supposed to live together. We do things together. We have projects. How do you ever figure out somebody like that? All of a sudden you get a letter. Boom! Just lays it out of all the ways that you've disappointed and hurt them. And you didn't even know that it was going on. I could tell story after story because I can bring them from far, but complex personalities. And then there are sarcastic comments. And you didn't mean a thing by it, right? Conflicting goals. And you know what? The list goes on and on. What are the things that you would add to this? But because of these things that come together and because these that come together, do you have some more to add to the list? Are there things that have hurt you? Broken promises. That hurts. Seeing somebody else being abused or hurt. That hurts. And the list goes on and on and on. And some of it is because we're made in the image of God, and some of it is because we have a fallen human nature. And so we are very, very sensitive to hurts. Now, when you're hurt, something happens. And I would like to talk about that a little bit. Anytime, well, I really went through this when the little girl that lived with us, the 16-year-old girl, drowned. All of a sudden, I went on an emotional journey. And it reminded me of when my father-in-law died. And it goes through, you go through this a little bit every time. You go through a little journey, and it's just normal. I'm going to just talk about that a little bit. You go through a terrible sense of denial. This can't be true. And then, when that starts to fade away, here comes anger. Anger turned outward, blaming others, and anger turning inward. And I am not saying that this is wrong. And then eventually there's genuine grief. And then there's acceptance. Somebody pointed this out to me. And it's not in the Bible, but I have noticed this so often about myself. That when you have been really, really hurt, this is a normal process. And you're not weird when that happens. You can hardly believe it. You try to make it where it isn't true. Your mind goes back and back and back, over and over and over again. It's a huge thing. It's all you can think about. When you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing you think about. These young widows are going to go on that journey, unexpected deaths. Or the widowers, ones whose wives died. They go through this. They can't believe it. It just can't be true. And then there's anger. Why? Why do we have anger? Well, because it doesn't seem fair. Something seems wrong. And we're made in the image of God. And the anger first is, why ever did they take her there? Why did they ever do that? Why was he ever doing that? And you know, you don't want to blame the person who's dead, but you go down that way too. Or when you get hurt, you go through the anger thing. And you got to work it out. And one of the best things is to just kind of talk about it and acknowledge it and see that it really is true. You got to work through it. And then there's a genuine, you blame yourself. And finally there's genuine acceptance. Now, is there anything good? This is kind of the negative side of it. But is there anything good that can come out of hurts? Is there any reason why God lets us? Why he made us in his image and we go through those things? I think that if it causes us to be sensitive to others, when you have gone through a death, a really, really hard thing in life, I meant to write the word others when I was talking. Sensitive to others. And you can say, I know what they're going through. And then, maybe not just that. Maybe I should have been... That one, sensitive to others, means that you're not so quick to hurt other people. But empathy. I know what they're going through. And these are all things that can be produced because you have been hurt. Just think what it would have been like if you'd have never been hurt in your life. You'd never had any pain. And that's one of the reasons why, as we go through life and we experience disappointments or hurts or things that strike us to the core, we should not write it off as being all bad. Because tenderness comes out of that, and maybe that goes under sensitive to others. And I finally have the ministry of encouragement. There are people who, walking through the valley of Baca, have turned it into a well. There are people who go through terrible loss and come out of that and turn to make others encouraged. And it can be a tremendous source because you've been hurt. Something that would have never happened if the hurts would have never been there in your life. Now, do you see why I filled that board up? So the problem with this is the longer you apply it in situations, the more and more writing you get done. Any questions about this? Well, you're probably just trying to absorb it. Let's keep going. We've got to talk about forgiveness. But forgiveness isn't the only choice. There is an alternative route. And if you, from your hurts, go down the other road, and we're going to put our low road down here, where you choose rather, the native response is resentment. I will not forget the morning that I was listening to a sermon about forgiveness. It was a lecture, and it wasn't really a sermon, and the man said resentment is when you choose to feel the pain all over again. Re means again, sentir means to feel. When you choose to feel it again, resentment
And along with resentment comes revenge, because you can't choose to think about it without thinking about what you're going to do to get evil, even. And this is a very strong human impulse to do that. If you're angry, if you've been hurt, then you have the right to feel it all over again. Now, if you mess up and hit your thumb one day, you know the worst thing you can do is hit it again the next day. And the next day, and the next day. Because with pain and continued hitting that thing again comes increased sensitivity. And when a person chooses resentment and revenge, they become increasingly and there are people out there getting hurt that nobody even intends to get hurt. Why? Because they're carrying unhealed wounds along with them. And they're just walking along in life and somebody can just tap them and it feels like they got hit with a sledgehammer. And you didn't even do a thing. But they get terribly hurt over that. And that's where you're going to be if you're going to carry your hurts around. So wife's going to hurt you, husband's going to hurt you, children are going to hurt you, life's going to hurt you, you're going to hurt. And there are people who go through life with increased sensitivity. Because of refusing to let it go. And along with that comes suspicions. Behind every bush, something's waiting to jump out and get you. Cynical. Now, what are you going to do with all that pain and all that revenge? What are you going to do? There's going to be anger coming out. But there's also going to be choosing comfort. In wrong places. I really think that there's a lot of addictions that come because of pain, because of resentment and revenge. And people just go back again and again to get their comfort in the wrong kind of place. And eventually, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about Esau and that he was rejected. God finally has to reject people like that. Because that's the world they want. They want to take this hurt and turn it into eternal hurt. And that makes no sense at all. And sometimes we just have to get it out on the board and look at it. Because is that what we want? Do we want to turn our hurt into eternal hurt by taking this way? Or can we take our hurt into forgiveness and turn it into this? I want to talk more about that because over here we're going to talk about now as we get to this board, I'm going to turn this sideways. Fruits. And over here is the roots. You know the difference between roots and fruits? I guess in potatoes are all the same, aren't they? But most of life, there's something goes down into the ground and produces this. And then after you have it, it produces a result, and that's what we're going to try to find in this board. But I am running out of time, so I have to go a little faster. In forgiveness, where are we going to find forgiveness? Well, I'm going to write the word unilateral down. Just from the simple fact that you can't get it from anybody else, and you can't get it from the person who gave you the hurt. Forgiveness is a journey you have to take by yourself. And that's what Ryan was saying that morning. And that's what resonated with me. But reconciliation is something that has to happen, a mutual journey. The other person won't walk it with you. You cannot make him do it. You can forgive him all by yourself. But reconciliation, you can't make the other person do that with you. You can appeal for it, but you can't make it happen. And until reconciliation happens, the Bible doesn't command you to trust. But there's no reason why brothers in the Lord can't be reconciled.
If they can't be reconciled, it's because something is stuck back here and going this way. That's where it's going. That's something you think about, forgiveness. But where does it come from? What are the roots? The roots of it are, you know what? It comes from faith, seeing God in the journey. God is in my life. God has the opportunity. What are we going to study about Joseph in the last lesson? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, God chose this home. God chose this pain that I go through. God chose this rejection. God chose this scorn. God chose this person. God allowed this. How do you think the martyrs faced it? They saw that God was in it. And if God was in it, then they could forgive. And they went to their death. Just reading about another one of those terrible martyrdoms. Father, forgive them. Let them go. How could they do that? When they took away your life, your health, your family, your money, everything, and finally, you know, you're going out into eternity. But you can do it if you see God in it. Then there's also this thing of humility. When you think, I deserve great things, unrealistic expectations, you're going to be hurt all the time. I deserve nothing. That is such an insulation for being hurt. I deserve nothing. What do you really deserve? I deserve a lot of punishment. I deserve rejection. I deserve scorn. I deserve nothing. Depending on what you see and how you see yourself. But what are the fruits of forgiveness? Freedom of spirit. And fresh vision of God's forgiveness. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, begin to think about how much God has forgiven you. And there is spiritual growth. Now, I didn't want to keep you past 11, so I'm just going to quickly try to wind this up here this morning. Because forgiveness, then, the next step, and we should probably have another whole sermon on reconciliation. But both people have to come whenever there's a break in the relationship. Both people have to come back and see just exactly what did happen. And in reconciliation, there is an agreement on what happened and responsibility. If there is failure to take responsibility, there can be forgiveness, but there won't be reconciliation. Joseph's brothers needed to go through what they did. And he needed to hear them say, we're getting this. And there needs to be finding common ground. And I don't have room to write everything down that I wrote down. What is it that we agree on? What is it that we can work together with? How can we build something out of our diverse personalities and diverse complex personalities and the gifts that we have? How can we make something good for a bigger cause? And when there is this, there is greater fruitfulness. And there is, what comes out of that is a growth in perspective, broader perspective. Husband and wife can choose to hurt each other in the fact because of the fact that we're so different and complex in personalities, we hurt each other and we go down this road of bitterness. But you know what? If you choose to see that, well, God put us in this together, and we're very, very different. Brother in the church and I, we're very, very different. But guess what? It's for the good. And as we have mutual respect, there is respect. Comes out of that. And compliments. I'm getting over into trust, because that's where it just naturally goes. When you're fully reconciled, you agree what happened, you agree what was lost, you agree what good can come out of it. It becomes a willingness. Trust comes out of a willingness to reinvest in each other. I will invest in your life. I will make it better. We also accept hurts without agree to talk out. I don't know. I'm running out of time and I'm running out of initiative. I'm just going to let that go. But trust is so beautiful when you finally get to that, especially when it's back with the person where the hurt came from or whom you hurt. And all of us have a responsibility, because it is so native to us to hurt other people and to be hurt. But all of us have the responsibility to see what fell into place for me that morning, sitting right there. Hurts need to go to forgiveness, need to go to reconciliation, and need to come to trust in God's plan. Let's kneel for prayer.